Right now, the holiday season is beginning, which means family and friend get-togethers are on the way. If chips and dips are on the table, you might want to keep this Seinfeld clip in mind while snacking.
What are you doing? What? Did you just double dip that chip?
Excuse me?
You double dipped the chip.
Double dipped? What are you talking about?
You dipped the chip, you took a bite, and you dipped again.
So?
That's like putting your whole mouth right in the dip. Look, from now on, when you take a chip, just take one dip and end it.
Well, I'm sorry, Timmy. But I don't dip that way.
Oh, you don't, huh?
No. You dip the way you want to dip. I'll dip the way I want to dip.
Give me the chip!
Hey!
We're about to unpack some common food rules and practices, like finding out if double dipping really is a germ spreader and whether or not sharing your popcorn at the movie theater is a nice gesture or just another way to swap germs. Joining us now are Paul Dawson and Brian Sheldon, authors of the new book, Did You Just Eat That? Two scientists explore double dipping, the five-second rule, and other food myths in the lab. Paul Dawson has joined us on the show in the past to talk about the five-second rule. He's a professor of the Food, Nutrition, and Packaging Sciences Department at Clemson University in South Carolina. And Brian Sheldon is a professor emeritus in food microbiology at North Carolina State University. Paul, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much. Great to be back.
And Brian, welcome to Central Time.
I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, Brian, let's start with you. As a professor in the food science field, do you get these kind of questions a lot from people, these sort of day-to-day questions about, is this a way to spread germs with food?
Well, once they find out what your area is in food microbiology, food safety, and specifically, they often ask me questions about it. They get calls about how they handle their food, if the food is safe to eat. They accidentally left their some product out from the refrigerator for a period of time and ask, is it safe to eat? And, of course, you have to be able to answer that question. You have to know something about them and their handling practices and how long it was out and et cetera before you can definitively say yes or no. And sometimes it's very questionable. I always kind of like to rule on the safety side of things. If in doubt, throw it out. And so relative to these, some of the practices that we discuss in this book, we don't want to alarm people, but we want to just engage them in thinking about some of the activities that they involve themselves in and what the potential implications might be for contamination, or I should say cross-contamination for many of these different topics that we've discussed.
And Brian, for a lot of these day-to-day household things, the five-second rules, the double dipping and so forth, is there a lot of research trying to find out, okay, how much harmful bacteria jumps from one place to another?
Well, there's a lot of research. There have been a number of studies, both unpublished and published, done on the five-second rule. Oftentimes, they don't even, unlike our study, they don't even try to identify what the organisms are that they're talking about or how contaminated the surface is. They just report that there's organisms that went from one surface over to another surface, like you drop something on the floor, like a Godiva chocolate or something like that. Whereas in our study, we tried to control it as much as possible and want to look at actually the level or amount of transfer using a surrogate microorganism such as Salmonella typhimurium, essentially where we inoculated the three different types of surfaces, carpet, wood, and ceramic tile, and allowed it to sit for a period of time to dry. It looked dry, didn't appear to have any indication of bacteria on that surface, although it was contaminated by us. But then we dropped for 30 or 60 seconds either a piece of bologna or a piece of white bread. And then, ultimately we took that bread and bologna off of that. We recovered any organisms, surviving organisms. And in fact, we proved that, as others have, that within a very short period of time, you can have anywhere near 100,000 to 10 million organisms that jump onto that piece of bologna or bread within about 5 seconds. and I suspect that it has occurred even faster than that. We did see some slight modification or differences between the bread versus the bologna, as well as between the different surfaces. Bread, because it has a more porous structure, it does not actually contact as much as of the surface. And that's also true with the type of surfaces contact the carpet, having a greater surface area. Basically, the bread and the bologna only contact a very small portion of it, or a portion of it, not all of it, as would be true with the wood or the ceramic tile. And so we did see lower populations on the carpet that were transferred, but there were still significant populations transferred. So to answer your question, yeah, I do have a lot of interest in what in my area of expertise, and asking me about what is safe or not, and relative to that 5-second rule, I think we definitely indicated or found out that it was is a myth, and that things happen very quickly. And if it just so happens that that surface has a foodborne pathogen or a virus that could make us sick, obviously that could get onto the food and potentially could be a risk for the consumer.
All right, that's the 5-second rule. Now, we teased double dipping there. Brian, talk about that. I am a campaigner against double dipping. I say break the chip or the carrot or whatever first if you want to dip it twice. Am I right? Is double dipping bad?
Well, I think you're right. I think we ought to follow you. I listening to the Seinfeld segment again, I was laughing here myself. It was hilarious not even seeing the two actors there. But as you can imagine, in that particular scene, basically you're taking a chip and you're dipping it in and you're basically putting it in your mouth. And we know that our mouth, our oral cavity, is highly contaminated with a lot of different types of organisms, and including it could be cold virus or flu virus, as well as some foodborne pathogens in there. And then you stick it back in the into the dip. Obviously, there's going to be transfer of what organisms that were in your mouth into that dip. And the more times that you do this, the larger the population is going to be remaining in that dip, such that people who come behind you would be more, I guess, taking a greater risk. Again, it comes down to your health. Are you transmitting possible pathogens? And then their health, if you are transmitting that, are they healthy enough to resist any of these pathogens? Again, if you have a strong immune system and the population that's being transferred is small, and also another major question, are there pathogens there, or are there just the usual harmless organisms? We know that probably 99% of the culturable bacteria and viruses don't cause us any problems. It's that 1% that do. And because we'd like to eliminate that, but who knows who's a carrier, who's transmitting that? That's the major question. But, you know, to be on the safe side, obviously it's not a good practice, although I've seen a number of people do it at different functions that I've attended, and I tend to shy away from that, just thinking that, well, I don't want to have that person's mouth in my mouth, so I kind of look at it that way.
When you put it that way, it sounds even worse than I was thinking of it. We're talking to Brian Sheldon and Paul Dawson. Their new book is Did You Just Eat That? Two Scientists Explore Double Dipping, the 5-Second Rule, and Other Food Myths in the Lab. All right, here's another example you tackle in the book. I'll throw this one at you, Paul. It's somebody's birthday. Yay, the cake is lit, and then they blow all the candles out, especially if it's a kid. Clearly, there's saliva involved. I don't want to be a party pooper, but this worries me a little. Is this a tradition we should end, Paul?
Well, I wouldn't want to end the tradition. I think it's a very popular one, but we did, in fact, find that, and when you blow birthday candles, that actually when you talk or breathe, even you're emitting bioaerosols, small droplets of water, and they're about 10 times the size of bacteria. So bacteria ride on them. Your oral bacteria in your oral cavity are being emitted even while I'm speaking or while you're speaking. And so when you're blowing forcibly, obviously you're going to be generating even more and directing them right at the top of the cake. And so we found as high as like a 37,000 bacteria in a real sloppy blower. We covered from one cake, and an average of almost 3,000 of all our subjects. So yeah, there's definitely generating bioaerosols and transferring bacteria to the cake. As far as tradition, I don't think we should end the tradition, but maybe if you've got someone who's either ill and on antibiotics or recovering from a transplant where they've got low immunity, an elderly person, and you've got somebody else in the room that has a cold. And if they don't have a cold, you don't know. Sometimes they're the old Typhoid Mary. They're showing no symptoms, but they're a carrier. You may not want to have that person eat the cake. I don't like ending traditions like that, but maybe a little care in some cases.
Now, Brian, we're just covering a few of the things in the book. There's a lot of stuff like this. Knowing what you know from your work in food microbiology, does it make it hard to enjoy food sometimes, restaurants, food at get-togethers, that kind of thing?
Well, I do get that question as well. I said, how can you go out and eat and things like that? Because as we address in the book, about 4 out of 10 people go out daily and eat at restaurants. We have probably over 60% at fast food restaurants. I look at it as this. I'm a healthy human adult. I think I have a fairly good immune system. I take some risk. I think we all take risk. I mean, living is taking a risk at times. So I'm not the type that carries hand sanitizer with me all the time. I try to, wash my hands as readily as I can. And when I think it's necessary, and I take some precaution relative to where I eat. I do look at, when I go into a restaurant, I do look at there's usually a food safety code number there in the state of North Carolina. Most states have this, that they will basically, they're inspected on a regular basis, and they get a grade. And if that grade is 90 or above, I don't have as much concern. If it's 80 or below 90, I will basically just walk out. In order to have an infraction below 90, you have to have several areas where you have not passed the requirements. So I don't know if all states, probably don't all have them. They're supposed to, generally in North Carolina, they have to have that highlighted right there at the register so it's plainly seen by the customer. So I use that as a way to determine, yes, I want to go in, or no, I don't. But, I take the risk. Again, I point out in the book, we say that a lot of it depends on our immunity. A lot of it depends upon, are there pathogens there or not? And if there are, what's the population of them? If there are very small numbers of them there, very unlikely that we're going to get sick. I'm worried more about it, especially this time of the year where we have the flu. We have, a lot more people walking around with colds. They don't necessarily stay in. They're out there. They're touching the things that I touch. It may even be the restaurant worker back in the kitchen who's sick, who, if they're sick, they should stay home. But you have to make a living, and some of those people don't even tell the boss that they are sick. So, again, as I point out, there's risk involved in eating out, but I'm not a germaphobe from that standpoint. I eat out quite a bit, and fortunately, I don't get sick every day. As Paul and I have said in the book, most of us eat 3 meals a day, 365 days a year, and we don't get sick. And so we have that in our favor. But we also know that 1 out of 6 people do get foodborne illness a year, and that's just foodborne related illnesses. That's not anything related to primarily getting the flu or the cold and that sort of thing. And it's probably more of us that get that.
A lot of food for thought there. Thanks to both of our guests, Paul Dawson and Brian Sheldon. They're food scientists, and their new book is called Did You Just Eat That? 2 Scientists Explore Double Dipping, The 5-Second Rule, and Other Food Myths in the Lab. So, wash your hands, and please don't double dip.